Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Matt. Would you join me in prayer, church? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we pray, as the confession read, that your Holy Spirit will now work in our hearts, testifying by and with the Bible, to persuade us that this truly is the Word of God. And through it, God, would you point us to the living Word, to Jesus, and the good news of Jesus for us today, so that we wouldn't just learn some interesting things today, but God, that every single one of us, whether we feel close to you today or feel far from you, that every single one of us would, by your Spirit, experience the redeeming transformation of the living Word of God. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Psalm 127. And as you do that, I want to present to you two words that do not normally go together in our world. All right? Two words that don't normally go together in our world. The first is restful, and the second is parenthood. Restful and parenthood. In fact, many of us would say that the phrase restful parenthood is an oxymoron, right? It doesn't exist. And I think there's strong argument for that, primarily based out of my own experience. When our youngest, Rebecca, was born, Caitlin was 3 and Andrew was 1. At least that's what the records show, because Diane and I don't really remember much from that phase of our lives. There's some pictures, a few videos, but don't ask us any hard questions because we survived and the kids are still alive and praise be to God. I was recently with Andrew visiting some of my college friends and had the privilege of meeting some of the next generation. Like, they got a chance to meet Andrew, and some of my college friends have these beautiful, wonderful newborn babies. These are 45-year-old and up people. And, I mean, their babies were gorgeous, but I just had to walk up to some of them, non-Christians or, you know, Christians or non-Christians, mostly non, and just say, God bless you and give you strength, because, like, you're going to need power from on high to, like, I mean, I just can't imagine going back and doing the baby thing again at this stage in life. When we think about parenting, we don't think about restfulness, because parenting takes tremendous energy. When the kids are young, it takes tremendous physical energy to chase them down and keeping them from harm and sleeping only in spurts and changing diapers and cleaning up from when the diapers don't work and then feeding them and making sure they don't touch the fireplace or draw on the walls or eat the dog food. I mean, having little kids is physically exhausting. You have to always be aware of what's happening. But then the kids get older and it takes tremendous emotional energy, right? Navigating friendships and homework that you don't remember how to do, and chores and puberty and disappointment and hormones. All of this parenting of older kids can be emotionally exhausting. And so restful and parenthood are not words that we normally would put together. They just don't seem like a natural fit. And yet, in Psalm 127, they are together. And we're in the middle of a sermon series on rest, because rest is this massive theme that runs all throughout the Bible. And yet rest, or the lack of rest, seems to be the theme that runs through our culture today, especially, I think, for parents. But here the theme of rest and parenthood is put together. And I think we've just got to figure out what in the world is going on, what that means and what that is about. But as we do that, let me just say this. This sermon is not only for parents. So if you're not a parent, I don't want you to check out. This sermon is for anyone who's working day in and day out towards something. Anyone who's building a business or building a career or building a legacy or building a future. And it's for anyone who's working day in and day out to protect what's been built, protecting that business or protecting that career or protecting that mission or protecting that legacy or protecting that future. So even though parenthood is the primary example of this psalm, it actually is an example for something that is universal. Look with me at verse 1 and you'll see what I mean. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." So this is a psalm, right from the top, that talks about building and protecting. Building or creating or producing, and guarding or watching over or protecting or preserving. Building and guarding, building and protecting. The fact is that those themes connect with every single one of us because that's how God made us. God made us to be builders and God made us to be protectors. There's a game right now that's really popular. It's on devices. It's called Minecraft. How many of you have been indoctrinated or know about Minecraft? Okay? I think there's more of you that have heard of this game, right? Minecraft. So, Minecraft is this incredible game that you play on your digital device. And there's two main ways to play. You can play in creative mode. Right, Jesse? Creative mode. You know all about creative mode. You can build like amazing, awesome things. You can create a world, however you want it to look. You can just build and create and create and create. And then there's survival mode. And in survival mode, you have to survive. You have to protect what you have, yourself and your resources. And you have to stay alive from these other weird things that are trying to take your life. And why is Minecraft such a popular game? It's not because like the visual effects are stunning. If you've seen the game, you know what I mean. It's because we were made to be builders and creators and protectors and guarders. God made us creative and God made us protectors. So we write music, we paint pictures, we put together wonderful meals, we build furniture, we grow teams, and we also keep things. We protect things. Some of us hold on to things a little more than others, but like grandma's rocking chair or the antique sewing machine. But we also keep pictures from the past, and we tell stories that get passed down from generation to generation. We protect things that matter to us. So some of us are more gifted in building, and some of us are more gifted in protecting. But God made all of us to be builders and protectors. And the author of this psalm is no exception. Did you see who the author of this psalm is? I think it's kind of unique because we don't have very many psalms by the author. Who's the author? Solomon. Solomon is the author. Solomon, the son of King David, the king of Israel after his father David. Solomon was a huge builder and a skilled protector. And because of that, he achieved and acquired all that a person in the world could ever dream about. He acquired great, incredible wealth and extreme power and all kinds of presumed benefits that came with that. But in the midst of that, he learned something incredibly valuable. He learned something actually that no one ever wants to experience. He learned that all of that building and all of that protecting could be done absolutely in vain. It could be absolutely meaningless. And that's why the psalm says that builders labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house. That the watchmen stand guard in vain unless the Lord is the one who actually is watching over the city. The Message version says this way. It says, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. So all the work that we do to build and protect, to create and to preserve is in vain unless the Lord blesses it. unless the Lord works in it and through it. In other words, we are absolutely dependent on God to make anything we do truly worthwhile. That's the main point of verse 1. And it's as straightforward as it can be, but I still think it's actually really hard for us to believe. But the psalm helps us know that we're not alone in that struggle to believe what verse 1 says. Because in verse 2, it calls out the tendency that I think all of us have. Look at verse 2. It says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." And that key phrase there is toiling for food to eat. The ESV, I think, has a little better translation that says, "Eating the bread of anxious toil." Eating the bread of anxious toil. And I think that's a better translation because it's not just talking about actual bread here. This is talking about the result of our vanity, the result of our meaningless effort to build and protect without the Lord's blessing. The result of that is anxious toil. And to help you think about that, I want you to just do this. Imagine taking a final exam in a very difficult course of study that's at the end of your degree program, and in which any wrong answer on this very difficult final exam will cause you to be kicked out of the entire program. Okay, are you there? I'm sorry to put you there, but I want you to get there. Most of us would take that test with a sense of anxious toil. We would feel tremendous pressure. We would feel burdened, and we would toil and strain and struggle over every question and answer. It would be a painful experience to take that final exam. So eating the bread of anxious toil is not good. Because when you're feeling that sort of burden and that sort of pressure over a sustained period of time, you do unhealthy things. You stay up late. You wake up early. You sacrifice relationships. You get physically sick. You become disconnected from God. You use caffeine to stay awake and pills to go asleep. And then you do it again the next day. Again and again and again. A life of anxious toil. That's what it means to eat the bread of anxious toil. And that's the way that we live when we don't believe what verse 1 says. When we don't believe that we are absolutely dependent on God to make anything we do truly worthwhile. We move through life with the weight of the world on our shoulders. We move through life stressed and pressured and toiling. But that's not the way that God wants you to live. There's something so much better, church. Look at the end of verse 2 to see what it is. At the end of verse 2, Solomon writes, "For God grants sleep to those He loves." What good news! God cares about your well-being. God gives rest to those He loves. God gives sleep. In other words, God doesn't want you to live with the weight of the world on your shoulders. God doesn't want you to live in anxious toil. God doesn't want you to build and protect in vain. And how do we know that? Because the Scripture says that He grants sleep to those that He loves. And how do we know that God loves us? Well, we know that God loves us because of the ultimate example of that love. He sent the one and only Son, Jesus, so that we, with all of our baggage, with all of our iniquity, with all of our anxious toil, with all of our vanity, we might be reconciled to God through Jesus. We can know that He loves us because, as it says in Romans, that He did that He came even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we had our backs turned against Jesus and our fists raised against Him, Jesus still came and gave His life for us. And we can know that this promise in Psalm 127 is for us because Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, all you who are living in anxious toil and vanity, come to me," He said, "and I will give you rest." God loves us, and He wants to have us to have something better than anxious toil. He wants us to have something better than a life lived in vain. And that something better, that rest, that sleep, that peace that passes understanding, always comes through the gracious gift of faith, through believing that God is at work and that we are His beloved and that He wants to give us rest as we surrender ourselves to the fact that we are absolutely dependent on Him to make anything we do truly worthwhile. And then with that faith, with that belief, we build and we protect, but we do so restfully, submitting all that we do to Him and trusting Him with the results. Even church, building and protecting a family. That's what the next verses talk about. And if you're like me, when you first read through Psalm 127, when you read verses 3 and 5, you thought, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about building a house and guarding a city. Why this sudden switch to this thing about children? And one option is to think that they actually are disconnected. That like Solomon's other writings in the Proverbs, when he just kind of has these little phrases that go in a row and aren't necessarily connected, that maybe that's what Solomon is doing here, simply putting two themes next to each other that have no real connection. That's one way to think about it, but I don't believe that to be true. I believe that these are absolutely connected, especially when we consider family life in ancient Israel. When we consider family life in ancient Israel, one of the most important tasks of any young couple in ancient Israel was to build a family. As Brian Schultz said often on our trip to Israel this summer, for ancient Israel, the best retirement plan was having children. The best way to invest in your future well-being was having children. Building your family was the way to grow your economic potential. It was the way to grow your wealth. It was the way to grow your power. It was the way to gain security in life. And you can see that in those verses. After the opening verses that just declare that the children are from the Lord, verse 4 says that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Right? Because if you have a bow with no arrows, it's just a one-string harp. I mean, you might be able to make it sound pretty or something, but it's not going to help you protect your household. And verse 5 says, the man who has many children will be able to stand in the gate, the place of business, and with his enemies and not be put to shame. Why? Because when he's doing that, when he's standing there, he's not standing there alone. He stands there with his children behind him. They're backing him up. And so he can stand in the presence of his enemies and not be ashamed. So, if you were a young couple in ancient Israel, the thing that you would worry about, the thing that you might toil about is building up a healthy family and protecting it, because this was critical for your long-term success and well-being. And even though most of us don't think about building a family up in quite the same way as they did in ancient Israel, I do think we understand what it means to have a sense of anxious toil about building a family. If I went around the room today and I talked with all the existing parents in the room, parents of adults, parents of little ones, and I asked you, what is it that you worry about most in your life? I bet the most common answer would be our kids. We naturally worry about our kids. We want them to do well. We want them to make good choices. We want them to be safe. We want them to love the Lord and His church. And so we often get caught up in parenting with anxious toil, with incredible pressure and with painful worry. But the psalm reminds the parents of ancient Israel, and it reminds us, children come from the Lord. Yes, obviously we play a part. But God in His sovereignty is the one who knits together every child in its mother's womb. And God is the one who makes them a blessing to their parents. The psalm reminds them that God is the one who provides and God is the one who protects. And so instead of building and protecting with anxious toil, with the weight of the world on our shoulders, as if all the future depended on us, God wants parents to live the oxymoron. God wants parents to parent restfully. Our souls in parenting as followers of Jesus are meant to be restful. How? Well, the only way to have rest as parents is to trust that unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. Because we are totally dependent on Him to make anything we do worthwhile, even our parenting. And that might be scary. It's scary to really surrender our families over to the Lord. I think many of us truly struggle with true surrender of our families to the Lord. But we need to remember who God is. We need to remember the incredible character of God. We need to remember that all that God has done for us in Christ. God loves us. God wants what is best for us. We can trust Him with whatever it is that we're trying to build and whatever it is that we're trying to protect. That's the message of this psalm. So beloved of God, are you living today in anxious toil? Are you feeling pressured? And if you are, what is that anxiety about? Is it about your kids? Is it about your work? Is it about your family? Is it about your future? Is it about your finances? Is it about your health? Is it about something that you're trying to build and you're working hard to do it? Is it about something that you're trying to protect and you're working hard to do that? Are you worried about doing all of that building and all of that protecting day in and day out and just have it all be for naught, all just be in vain? This psalm is meant to be a comfort to us. That's what it's been for me this week. There have been so many times this week that I was just so grateful that I got to preach on this passage this week. Because it's easy for me to forget that I am totally dependent on God to make anything I do truly worthwhile. It's easy for me to forget that He is the one who takes all the decisive action. And when I do that, it's not good. It's not healthy. When I do that, I start living with a sense of tremendous pressure and stress. I start trying to make things happen in my own strength. I start feeling the weight of that anxious toil that the psalm talks about bearing down on me. And when I was feeling like that this week, and for some reason I just felt like that a lot this week, the Lord in His mercy would just bring these verses back to mind. And these verses would remind me that God wants to give me rest. They would remind me that God is good and that I am His beloved. They would remind me that He is the one who draws my kids to faith. He is the one who changes hearts. He is the one who builds His church. He is the one who makes a sermon effective. He is the one who does all the decisive actions that really matter. He is the one who makes anything I do worthwhile. And so the Spirit would gently remind me again and again that I can trust in Him. And that all those reminders over and over would bring me rest. They brought me rest. They comforted my spirit as I continued in my work. And I could continue with a sense of rest. And I pray that the same would be true for you today and in this week ahead. That as you believe in God, as you believe afresh today that you are totally dependent on God to make anything you do truly worthwhile, that you would submit everything you do to Him. That you would not be people who labor in vain with anxious toil, but you would experience as you surrender to Him, as you submit to Him, all your building and all your protecting unto Him, that you would find rest. Because Because you, my friends, are God's beloved. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us. God, you are so good. Thank you that you give rest to all those you love. Help us to believe today that we are totally dependent on you to make anything we do truly worthwhile. Forgive us again for not believing that, to think that we can just do things on our own and use our own strength. But God, unless the Lord builds the house, we builders labor in vain. And we don't want to labor in vain. I don't want this church to be laboring in vain. We don't want to just spin our wheels and be active and do things, but have it all be in vain. And so we submit to you everything we do, all the week ahead, in work and in school and relationships, in our family, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, we submit it to you. And we say thank you that we are the beloved of God and that you desire to give us rest. You're so good. Help us to live as your restful people this week. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agrees said, amen.
We have one last song. We're going to sing.
Amen. So, if today you're feeling anxious toil, I just want you to know that God has something better for you. And it's found in Jesus. The prayer team is here. They're going to come forward and they're going to be here. I just invite you to come forward after the service and to ask them to pray with you about whatever that thing is that's causing that toil within you. Work that through. Bring that to Jesus and be ministered to here and with your church family. Today I'm going to give the benediction, and then as a sign of taking that word that God has given to us and implanted in our hearts and living it out this week in the world, we're going to actually have a recessional of the word, or whatever the right way to say it is. The word is going to go out, and Scott's going to carry the word out, and our Piper is going to follow him, and we will follow them out into the world, taking the word that God is giving us and sharing that with the world. So now, receive this blessing from the Lord, and then remain standing where you are until the word has gone out, and may you follow it out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace today and every day. Even some sleep today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,